You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed the first hour with Jesse Lee Peterson after Jesse's appearance. And, man, what an appearance. I tell you, that guy, and what a guy. He was on fire tonight. It must be all that heat. Is it hotter? Well, it can't be hotter in California than it is out here. There's just no way, at least not with the humidity and heat index factored in. But nevertheless, he was turning up the heat tonight, and I enjoyed that interview thoroughly. And then I rounded out the first hour with a little update, or rather at least an additional article that was published earlier this week, 4 days ago, at faithandheritage.com about my ongoing war with the Southern Baptist Convention. There was actually another article written about that this week. I don't have time to cover it tonight, but I will give you the web address, Dissident Mama, dissidentmama.com. And let me tell you something about Dissident Mama. That's another person I've gotten to know. I gave you just a moment ago, I told you about this pastor in Michigan who had sent in some support and had been a longtime listener of the show. I did not know he was a pastor until this week, but pastor of a nice church up there in Michigan, and stands with me and my pastor 100% with regard to the issue with the SBC. But here's Dissident Mama, who has written an article entitled, and that's dissidentmama.net, dissidentmama.net. I think I said .com earlier, dissidentmama.net, where she smashes sacred cows with a bang, not a whimper. That's her tagline. She has an article that was published on July 12th, just 2 days after the article at Faith and Heritage, entitled White Christians Should Feel Guilty. Now, she's not saying they should. She's mocking what everybody else says. She is actually somebody that I have exchanged some correspondence with. Fascinating woman. In a fantastic article, and in that article, she also features my situation with the Southern Baptist Convention. But let me read her about page at dissidentmama.net. She writes about herself that she is a truth warrior, Jesus follower, wife, and mother, an apologetics practitioner for Orthodox Christianity, the Southern tradition, homeschooling, and liberty. Now listen to this. She writes that she is a recovering feminist, socialist, atheist, and retired mainstream media journalist turned domesticated belle and rabble-rousing rhetorician, a mama who's adept at triggering statists and who bangs as loudly as she can. DissidentMama.net. You need to be following this woman's writings. Isn't that amazing, though? We have the support of authentic Christian pastors. We have the support of celebrities. We have the support of movie stars. You know, of course, you know our situation with Sunny Landover. There's other people in Hollywood who support listen to TPC. And then here, this woman who was once a mainstream media journalist turned domesticated Southern belle and rabble-rousing rhetorician. She was once an atheist, a feminist, a socialist. Now she is a traditionalist, orthodox, pro-white advocate, and she has taken up our cause, and I am happy to know her, and you should know her too, dissidentmama.net. I'll break down that article she wrote next week. We don't have the time tonight. What do we have time for this hour? We're going to have Tom Kaczynski on. You remember Tom, the former mayor. They call him town manager up there of Jackson, Maine. He's going to be on in just a few minutes. But there's one thing I want to share with you very quickly. And as it was written on Occidental Dissent earlier this week, I want to make the conservatives realize, if it's all possible, that your Make America Great Again agenda will eventually be halted by a commie's brick or crowbar unless you embrace the whole truth and nothing but the truth, including the truth about being pro-white. Now, I wrote in my book 8 years ago about the R word and how we can't let it neutralize us. But now it has gotten so much more ubiquitous. It is now everybody and everything is not only a racist now, but a Nazi and a fascist and all of these other things. Steve Bannon was accosted at the Black Swan bookstore in Richmond, Virginia, where old books meet new friends, according to the establishment. And he was accosted by a woman in the bookstore who recognized him and started verbally accosting him. She called him a piece of trash. She called him a white nationalist. And the police were called on her, And the media came down on this bookstore for, quote, turning the store into a safe space for white nationalists. Steve Bannon is not a white nationalist. I mean, Steve Bannon was better than most in Washington. But Steve Bannon, I don't even know if he was, he certainly wasn't explicitly pro-white, maybe implicitly on some levels. And I think Steve Bannon was fine. He was okay. But even Steve Bannon now is a white nationalist, which I believe the media uses interchangeably with white supremacists. At least I've been called both on a number of occasions, and I've been called both in the same article on numerous occasions. So they do use those interchangeably. Peter Brimelow pointed that out as well. But so Steve Bannon is a white nationalist, and he had a confrontation with one of these nuts at a bookstore when he was just browsing the shelves. Now, this next example, I think, is even more incredible. Mitch McConnell. Now, at least you could say Steve Bannon was a conservative. I guess you could probably call him that, and that would be accurate. But Mitch McConnell is he embodies everything about cuckery and limp-wristed establishment neoconservatism. He is really the lowest form of life on earth, as far as I can gather. He's just a coward with no courage. He is a left-wing Republican. There is nothing redeeming about Mitch McConnell. But as he was leaving a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky earlier this week, a group of protesters confronted him, according to the Louisville Courier-Journal. The Louisville Courier-Journal. Say that 10 times real fast. And he was confronted by protesters who started chanting "Abolish ICE" before adding that they know where he lives. And I've watched the video of these people, if you can call them that, and I'm being generous in calling these individuals people, but they called Mitch McConnell a fascist. So Steve Bannon is a white nationalist, or white supremacist if you prefer. Mitch McConnell, who is a disgrace to white men, is being called a fascist. He's a disgrace to fascists, by the way, as well. And this is where we are now in the current year. Antifa and their co-conspirators and collaborators in the establishment press are regurgitating this tripe that unremarkable people like Mitch McConnell are fascists and people like Steve Bannon are white nationalists. Let me tell you something, folks. This is the point I'm bringing this up for. The point I'm bringing it up to make is, if Mitch McConnell is a fascist, you ain't got no hope of dodging these terms. So don't even try. Now, there's a difference between not trying and becoming the caricature. Don't become the caricature. Don't just say, because they call you a Klansman, you join the Klan. Or because they call you a Nazi, you get a swastika tattooed on your neck. Don't become the caricature. But don't worry about it either. Don't worry about these names that they call you. Yes, it's unfair. Yes, it's untrue. But don't sacrifice the courage of your convictions because you're trying to run from these terms. Just celebrate White History Month, baby. Just celebrate being white. Celebrate being the best that you can be. And don't worry about it. You're not going to get away from it. Mitch McConnell's a fascist? I mean, for God's sake, what a joke. Mitch McConnell's a coward and a wimp, not a fascist. We'll be back.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, so I was telling you in the last segment, picking up on a couple of news articles that were out in the last few days, Steve Bannon being verbally attacked at a bookstore, being called a white nationalist, Mitch McConnell being attacked by a stinky mob of Antifa shouting that he was a fascist. My book, Racism Schmacism, really debunks all of this stuff, and it tells you what to do about it. You're not going to be able to get away from it. If you're a white man, you're a racist, and even now more than ever, we've graduated from racism to white supremacy and Nazism. You're a Nazi, you're a Klansman. My book tells you all about it, and my book is still in high demand. I took a whole box of 40 books down to the League of the South meeting, and we sold out. We sold out of all of them, and I had to actually order a few more for people who couldn't get their hands on one because we had sold out before they could get to me in the line. And it was a fantastic response, and the book still is doing its work even after 8 years. And so Racism, Schmacism, I'll tell you about these things. But there was one other story that came up. I think Sam sent me the story. It was a story about some Trump supporters. I don't know. They were having a little Make America Great Again rally. It was a handful of them. And then all of a sudden, four people in Klan regalia walk up to them and want to join their demonstration. And Sam sent me the article, and he said, what do you think about this? And I said, well, my first thought was, why were four FBI agents showing up in Klan regalia to this Make America Great Again rally? I mean, that just doesn't happen. Four random people wearing Klan regalia showing up to a nondescript small gathering of Trump supporters. That stinks to high heavens even from the onset. But let's just pretend it was legitimate. And I say again, everybody do what you think is best, as long as it's legal and as long as it's not advocating for violence or anything like that. But I just don't think it's a good look to dress like that. I don't think it's going to sell with the white people who we need to bring into our movement if you're going to be dressed like that. The Klan is just not going to sell in the current year. Now, trust me on this, folks. I'm your leader. Remember, the Michigan Court of Appeals ruled that I am the leader of the Klan, so I have an authority to tell you not to dress like that. I am the Klan leader, according to the Michigan Court of Appeals. So That's my advice. Now, TPC's in the news all the time. You know that. And if we talked about all the news we make, we would never be able to talk about much else on the show, so we don't always cover it. But there was an interesting article. I told you last week about the article in the Washington Post. Somehow we got labeled a populist conservative by the Washington Post. I don't know what was going on right there. But they're ruining our reputation, that much I can tell you. Now, we commend them for getting it right, that's for sure. There's a new article. The U.S. white nationalist movement is attempting to build international allies. The U.S. white nationalist movement is attempting to build international allies. And it's a story about the recent gathering at Montgomery Bell for the Nationalist Solutions Conference. Now, we did a live broadcast from there a couple of weeks ago in June. And there was a few sentences about TPC in this particular article. Listen to what they say about me. James Edwards, host of the AM talk radio show The Political Cesspool, took the stage reflecting his own Southern nationalist perspective. Edwards is on the board of the Council of Conservative Citizens and the American Freedom Party and has served as a motivating voice in their movement for years. Motivating, populist, conservative. What is going on with the lying press? I don't understand it. But it's an interesting article. I don't think I've tweeted it or linked to it, but we may do that. I'll tell you one thing, though, folks. What you can do for me is, well, we're halfway to Christmas, are we not? It's midsummer. We're in the dog days of summer. Christmas is coming, and Christmas always comes fast. And if any of you are wondering what Christmas present to get me, if you've got about $300,000 laying around, there's a piece of history going to auction that I would surely like to have displayed here at TPC Studios. It is an authentic letter written by Martin Luther. And I mean the real Martin Luther, the one who founded the Protestant Reformation, the Martin Luther of the Diet of Worms, the Martin Luther, not the Martin Luther King, the fake Christian who pretended to be a Christian in order to advance anti-white hatred. No, the authentic Martin Luther. And pray on women, yes, he did. Not Martin Luther, but the fake one. The real Martin Luther was fantastic. And there is a letter that he wrote, unspoiled to this day, that is going to auction. And the people who are auctioning it put up a one-minute video, and they tell you all about it. And I thought it was interesting, so maybe you'll find it interesting, too. And if you got $300,000, you can buy it for yourself, or me, if you're generous. Here it is.
This is a 1543 handwritten letter composed by Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant Reformation in Brandenburg and Berlin. And he's writing to another theologian discussing how to treat the Jews of Germany. This is the direct quote from Martin Luther in 1543. He says, "For these Jews are not Jews, but devils incarnate who curse our Lord, who abuse his mother as a whore and him as hebelvoric and a bastard, that is known for certain. And anyone who is capable of eating or drinking or associating with such a foul mouth as a Christian as well as the devil is a saint." And that's directly quoted from Martin Luther. And I think what makes this letter incredibly important is Martin Luther was the most widely read man in Germany at the time as a writer and a respected theologian. So his commentary was very important. As you can see, the letter is in incredible condition for something that's over 500 years old. I think this letter shows, where the mindset was of Luther and other theologians in 1543 grappling with the Reformation and how to interpret the Jews and Judaism amongst themselves. They were all trying to get the Jews to convert to Protestantism at the time. So this is a letter reflective of a dispute. We expect this to sell for around $300,000 because, one, Martin Luther is impossible to have in your private collection. Two, it's got incredible content. The condition is amazing. And, it's from one of the most important figures in history.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you got an extra $300,000 lying around, that can be yours, but man, wouldn't that be something? Well, I grabbed Tom Kaczynski on at the tail end of this segment just so we could go ahead and get introductions out of the way so that we could spend the last half hour of hour number two tonight with him without the exchange of pleasantries, although it is important to do those things as well. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on again, James. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Tom Kaczynski, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is the former town manager, that may be the mayor of your town, of Jackson, Maine, and he made global headlines back in January when it was discovered that he was a town manager who did not hate himself. He had spoken out. He had spoken the truth that Islam is incompatible with the West, that he is not ashamed of being white, and he was dismissed from his position as a result of that. But he left with his integrity and his self-respect intact, and that led us to us. Winston Smith, I was actually out the night that Tom Kaczynski first appeared on TPC. I was taking my daughter to a Valentine's Day dance, and Winston Smith covered that program quite well. And so the story of Tom's situation in Maine was told on that night. We have had Tom back a few weeks ago at the aforementioned Nationalist Solutions Conference. He sat in with us for a segment. And tonight we want to have Tom back on because we think he is a person to watch. We think that he has a lot to offer our movement, and he certainly has experience in leadership positions. And we want, we've told you his story, and when he was on a few weeks ago, you learned a little bit, well, we talked a little bit about we just talked about the conference and what we were doing and all of that. Well, tonight, we're going to ask him some questions in general, some general questions about our movement, and we're going to get his answers, and I look forward to learning them as well as I'm sure you do as well. So, Tom, sit tight, my friend. I'm glad you're with us again. We look forward to it, and we're going to get to you right at the next segment, and we're going to go into it full bore as soon as we return from this short break. Tom Kaczynski, everybody. Stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I tried to rush through that introduction of Tom Kaczynski, former town manager of Jackson, Maine, a man who has made global headlines this year, so we could get to the nuts and bolts of it during his appointed time on the program tonight, which begins right now. So, Tom, during the last appearance you made with us, which was a short cameo during our Nationalist Solutions Conference coverage program, you stated that you are looking and are interested in having a more prominent role in this movement and applying your talents to this cause. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, James. I started a movement called the National Right at www.nationalright.us, which covers some of my basic ideas. But the goal is to go ahead and take some of the ideas that you and I share, and I know a lot of your listeners believe as well, and make them more accessible to the public, which is that white people should feel no shame in their identity, and that we can come together on common beliefs, because what we're seeing in America today is a left that's so radicalized and so extreme that we need to come together in defense against them, otherwise they may hurt us and themselves.
Tom, what I've got for you is, and of course I agree with what you're saying, and we're going to give you time at the end of the hour to plug all of your contact information, whether it be New Albion or this organization you just mentioned, whatever you would like the people to know about. But I solicited a very loyal listener of this program with some questions for you. And as I stated before, you had the cameo at the National Solutions Conference program earlier this year. We had you on to talk about all the news you had made in your capacity as the town manager of Jackson, Maine. But tonight we want to talk about just some general issues and just get your response to it. So I've got a collection of six questions, that we want to sort through with the remaining time this hour. So be mindful of the time. Take your time to answer these questions as carefully as you would like. And but we do want to cover six questions in the time that we have remaining. So, you know, a couple, 3 minutes each would be just fine. So here's number one to you, Tom. Some whites find the idea of a future ethnostate to be an attractive idea. Define ethnostate, and what is your position on this issue? Is it viable or is it fantasy?
Well, I think the concept of an ethnostate is viable. And the basic way I would define an ethnostate is a place where a certain ethnic majority exists and dominates that area. And in most places of the world, nations and ethnostates overlap. You know, we have an idea of what Poland is with Poles or Germany with Germans, at least up until relatively recently. I think the challenge of it is just the American context isn't one that easily lends itself to the ethnostate, because maybe because of our mixed heritage, we tend to look at things through more of a cultural lens. And what's sort of interesting is in America, we were able to get around some of those contests that required ethnostates because we had a smaller government that was less intrusive. And we also had a common culture that we shared that transcended a lot of groups. But what we've seen since the 60s and even more so since the fall of the Soviet Union is that the cultures are diverging against each other. And as cultures have diverged, they've largely done it along ethnic lines. So I kind of believe that the cultural conflicts of the future are actually going to lead to ethnic conflicts as well, because if things get bad, people are going to look to identify with people who look like them, who come from a similar region, similar background, and whatnot. So I think the future will have much more of an ethnic flavor because of the fact that the American consensus, which was a wonderful thing, has been destroyed in many ways by the rise and growth of our own government.
What an answer. You know, the more I talk to you, Tom, the more I appreciate Eddie the Bombardier Miller is he's not mic'd up yet, but he's got his headset on and he's listening to this and he is nodding, saying brilliant. And you really have a knack for articulating your mind. Very impressive. Next question. The U.S. admits over a million immigrants a year, 90% from the third world, of course. Whites will be a minority in this country very soon, largely because of immigration. So my question to you, Tom, is what should we do about it? Now, I know even in Maine, you've got a situation with Somali immigration, but the whole country it will soon become California. What should we do about immigration?
Absolutely. What we need to do is have a zero-tolerance policy on illegal immigration. There needs to be absolutely no amnesty for any sort, whether it be Dreamers or other people. We need to strictly limit incoming new immigration. I personally would support a complete moratorium, but I think the actions that President Trump is suggesting about ending chain migration, ending the immigration lottery, and all of those are necessary steps. But to be 100% honest with you, even if you stop immigration where it's at now, I don't think that would be enough to solve the demographic imbalance. We need to start looking very seriously at family planning policy. I think that if we were, for instance, say to subsidize, or not subsidize, but incentivize families with a mother and a father to have kids instead of single parents, we might see something more beneficial to the demographics we want to realize. And we can do that in a race-neutral manner that I think would be helpful to encouraging responsibility. So I think it's the basic responsibility of a government to make sure that it has people who subscribe to a common belief. And this sort of myth that's been promoted by the left for a very long time, that we are a country of immigrants, overlooks the fact that the job of a nation is to look out for the welfare of its citizens. And as much as immigration does not benefit us in terms of increased crime, increased social costs, and a culture which is frankly incapable of integrating people like it once did when we had second and third wave generations coming from Europe, who I would note shared our ethnicity and shared our religion and our basic work ethic. Immigration as presently constituted is a disaster. And my biggest fear is should another Democrat come into office, they will open the floodgates to such an extent where the projections that you gave will actually prove short of what happens because of how many immigrants, refugees, or what we should call them, invaders, are admitted to the United States.
Tom, after listening to you give that answer, I had an epiphany. I'm glad that you were dismissed as the town manager in Jackson, because we're going to need a good president after Trump's second term. And you're winning my vote right now. Ladies and gentlemen, listen.
I appreciate that.
No, I mean that. I that is not false flattery. You have a knack. I've been in radio for 14 years, but you have a knack to articulate these ideas, and your ideas are spot on. Let's try to work in one more question before the end of the break, and I've got a few more for you, obviously, in the next segment, but this one can be a quick one, maybe. The U.S. gives more foreign aid to Israel than any other country. We know that. We have a so-called special relationship, quote-unquote, with the Jewish state. Do you think that's a good idea?
I do not. I think the obligation of the American government is to the American people. I think generally we spend way too much money on foreign aid. And specifically as it relates to Israel, I think that for certain reasons related more to religiousness and Israel Congress, we invest far more energy and effort into Israel than is warranted, given the complications which it has drawn us into in the Middle East, which have led to thousands of Americans' lives lost, probably hundreds of thousands of civilians killed there, as well as trillions of dollars spent. And I think we would do very well to follow Washington's guidance and to avoid foreign entanglement, and as well as the Monroe Doctrine more generally, which is the other parts of the world to people who belong there and focus on our own backyard. Right now, we have way too many problems at home to be subsidizing other countries. And while I bear no ill will against Israel, it is not our concern how they choose to act, and we should let them go their own way.
Well, you won Eddie's vote with that answer. So you're up to two votes tonight for president. We are going to give you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are as impressed with our guest tonight, or our guest this hour, as I am, what a fantastic night it has been. Jesse Lee Peterson in the first hour, what an incredible interview. This one is equally as good. And if you are as impressed with our guest this hour as I am, we want you to know his contact information so you can learn more about him, so that you can support his work. I think, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, I am not an overzealous man, but I think that there is a new leader rising right here with Tom Kaczynski. And Tom, before we go to the break and the music's going to start any second, let's go ahead and give that contact information one more time. We'll give it again before the end of the hour.
Sure. Reach me on email at tom@nationalrights.us, www.nationalrights.us. And if you like what I have to say, check out my book available on Amazon.com. Someone had to say it, The Hidden History of How America Was Lost.
The Hidden History of How America Was Lost, Amazon.com. And give us that website one more time as the music starts.
NationalRights.us.
Okay, now, normally when we ask somebody to give us their contact information, it means they're about to be gone for the evening. But not so with Tom Kaczynski. He's back with us for another segment and more questions right after this.
And come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, having a fantastic interview with Tom Kaczynski right now, and I want to give you that website again. It's nationalright.us, National Right, singular, not plural, not National Rights with an S, but National Right, National R-I-G-H-T. .us, and I'm at his website right now. And one thing I like about Tom is the fact that he willingly paid the price without apology, without groveling. Once they called him out for not hating himself, he stood the line And yes, he was removed from office, but they did not remove him of his dignity and his self-respect and his value, as so many white people allow that to be done. And I am that man. I have done that for many, many years, and I appreciate and respect others who do. And we provide this venue as a showcase for others who you should know about. And let me tell you something. This guy right now is near the top of the list, at the top of the list, Tom Kaczynski, nationalright.us. And we've got some more questions for Tom. Tom, if you can, let's talk about the threat of globalism. Globalism. Define the threat of globalism where it appears. Multinational corporations export good-paying American jobs and import abundant cheap foreign labor. Explain why Trump dislikes the EU and NAFTA. And can tariffs level the trade playing field and give the president leverage in dealing with unfair trade deals and multinational corporations? So I guess your thoughts on trade and globalism.
Yeah, I think the important thing is the obligation of the American president is to the American people, and the sovereign law in this land is the Constitution, not international law or treaties of the United Nations. And I think Americans want and respect an American who will stand up for us. Since the end of the Second World War, the international consensus is that American wealth, strength, and forces should be used to create a world that's safe for peace. But the world that was created is one that hasn't appreciated us, that has spoken out against us and taken advantage of us. Look at the trade deficits we run regularly with Germany, who's supposed to be our nominal ally, where we spent billions to rebuild them after the war. Or look at China, who we regularly run a $500 billion deficit with, that we were foolish enough to grant most favored trade. Or, you know, where I thought was that would be new markets for American jobs. Instead, it ended up being a new market for the jobs themselves. And those jobs have kept moving down and toward Asia. I think they're in Malaysia now, and they never came to us. So I think the appropriate thing is for the American president to look out for the American country. And the idea that we go ahead and have tariffs is a good one, because we have a national security issue where we can't produce many of the goods we need for our economy to function. So between automation, reducing the cost of logistics, and the desire of many Americans to work, let's bring the jobs home here. And Trump is right that he has a really strong hand, because the truth is many of these countries' wealth depends on dumping their cheap goods on our market. We don't buy their goods. Or excuse me, they don't buy our goods. We buy their goods. And so Trump is absolutely right to take a hard line with them. And I think people are going to be really pleased and surprised by how well this works out. Because what we're going to find is all those countries roaring at us are a bunch of paper tigers, and they will respect us, and then we can have fairer, more honest relations.
Well, I would tell you, I can remember in school, every now and then I would take a test, and especially in elementary school, you could actually get more than 100. You could get like 105. You could get like a little bonus. And I think if these questions we're posing to Tom were a test, he's A-plus so far. Tom, we got two more questions, and then Eddie Miller wants to...
Tom is killing it.
Well, there he goes. He just chimed in. But he wants to say a little more to you before we run out of time. 90% of Republicans support President Trump. Over 90% of GOP voters are white. The GOP appears to be, and again, this is with exception to its cucked-out leadership like... how am I trying to word this? This is... even though we have cucked out leadership like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, in spite of them, the GOP still appears to be the de facto white party. Should we work within the Republican Party to make it a true Trumpian nationalist party of much lower immigration, repealing bad trade deals, and standing up for the middle class? Or should we search for alternative options? Your thoughts on that, having been an elected official?
I think because of the structural nature of the two-party system in America, with single-party districts, what is within the Republican Party. And I would note we are being increasingly successful in taking over that party. Mike,
we're getting some break.
2024. What's that?
Tom, I don't mean it. No, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're getting some breakup. It's a long way from Dixie to Maine, and I guess since we're connecting to you from another country, there's a little bit of breakup, a little bit of static, a little bit of distortion. I don't want to interrupt you, but I would ask you to just sort of restate your answer, and we'll see if it goes a little bit smoother this time.
Okay, can you hear me more clearly now?
So far, so good.
Okay, thank you. So what I think working within the Republican Party makes sense because we are moving it in a nationalist direction. I've worked in third parties before, and there are a great many difficulties. But I think with the Republican Party, the important thing is for people to stay active and to realize that our elected officials are going to probably be much more responsive to sticks than carrots. So we need to be very responsible in voting people out who don't respond to the nationalist agenda. And I'll use an example. I think Senator Corker, who represents you guys in Tennessee, or if you want to pick another one, Senator Graham, who's kind of been a longtime establishment hack politician, are people who we might want to target for a primary where, you know, we can make sure the people involved are people who subscribe to the nationalist agenda. The challenge is that the funders who basically have run the Republican Party for many years, the Chamber of Commerce types who pushed a radical free market libertarian ideology, didn't look out for the welfare of the people. And I think it's going to be very important that we keep an eye on the Republican Party to make sure they do that. And if they honor the national agenda and putting America first, then they can be very successful. My national right organization basically is built upon the principle that it organizes activists to go ahead and serve as a hammer to keep them in line and as a reminder that they can be replaced just as easily as the Democrats were should they fail to represent the interests of the American people. Now, I would add to that, with regard to the Republicans being the party of white people, I think it's absolutely true that the Republican Party needs to take a forceful interest in favor of white people. And while I know they do not like speak in terms of identity politics, when we have all these policies put out that represent all the interests of these other groups, but whites are not represented at that table, a legal deficit emerges where we cannot have the same rights. We don't have the same legal protections, the same consideration for government funds and programs. And unless we're going to have a true meritocracy, which I am perfectly fine with, but the left will never allow to happen, the right will have to play some identity politics. And we should represent the people who vote with us.
Tom, last question. What are your views on feminism, homosexuality, and the deteriorating American family?
Well, I think I'm against the first two, basically. I think feminism has played a very corrosive effect on American society because it's created in this false premise that the left loves to use of creating equality where there isn't any. And I don't mean that to impugn women in any way, shape, or form, but as any man knows, women are a different species. And I say that with compliment because they have patience, beauty, and grace, and at least as long as they're happy, we experience those. So what I would say is with feminism, we've created a situation where we have set men and women up to be competitors against one another instead of collaborators in building the family. And to transition to your question about homosexuality, my view is that the natural relationship between man and woman is marriage. The relationship between man and woman is desirable for society, and the government should go ahead and seek to promote that as the means of supporting children. So instead of the welfare state television and state-run education telling kids how to live, you have parents, families, churches, and the natural institutions we used to enjoy. Now, it's not my job to go out there and castigate how people choose to live their life, and homosexuality is the oldest human history. But there's a difference between tolerating what people do privately and going out there and recognizing that as having some special legal status, which I think we do to the detriment of our own society. I would add to that, generally speaking, I think most Americans would very much like if people kept their own sexual affairs in the bedroom. And when I look at these pride parades and events that you see the gay community have, they are basically a way of throwing in our faces how they are using government to compel special status for them. All of these things come together to create a sort of degenerate environment where we need to offer a countercultural, which is moral, which is wholesome, And from what people tell me, they want a restoration to the way America used to be and where they knew that Americans saw themselves as good people living in a good country who tried to do the right thing, not people who let anything go and didn't care. And with that sort of responsible ethic, I think we can have a much better future.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've liked what you've heard half as much as I have, National Right, National, R-I-G-H-T, nationalright.us, Tom Kaczynski, support him. I think we're going to be hearing much more from this man going forward. Tom, thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks, James. Always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time.
Indeed, my friend. Tom Kaczynski, everybody, nationalright.us. We'll let Eddie tell you what he thought about him in the next hour. Stay tuned.
More to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.